Page, actually, no, the middle of the page. We're in the middle of the discussion about who is considered an aid, who's considered part of the set, because we had talked about the idea that you're not the set don't become zomim unless all of them become zomim. But on the other hand, we said the third man in the set who becomes a zomim after the other two already became zomim is still going to get punished, even though nothing would have been done with his testimony in any case. So we were defining, who counts as a witness in a set such that they will disqualify the set by participating in it. And that brings us to a comment that Rav Papa makes to Abaye. And we are specifically at Horig Veroveya Yatzilu. It was right in the middle. So I'll go back two lines, although it's an awkward two lines to go back to. Nonetheless.
Two lines.
Yeah, Amar le Rav Papa Abaye. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Amar le Rav Papa Abaye, Ela me'ata harug yatzil. Rav Papa says to Abaye, according to Rabbi Yossi, right, within the view of Rabbi Yossi that you can just become part of the set by witnessing the event with other people, so he says, the victim of a murder could actually disqualify the set of witnesses. And we gave the case, right? It was a time-delayed poison or whatever it was. So he could disqualify the set, Rashi explained, because he is related to himself and he is considered a Baal Davar. That's the usual way that we take Rashi. He is considered to be a litigant in the case. I noted last time the Grach of Chaim Soloveitchik, who says that's not what Rashi means. That's not what Rashi is saying, but Tosfos reads it as he is considered an enemy of the person who attacked him and therefore disqualified as an aid. He certainly has good reason to be his enemy. Tosfos and Sanhedrin give another answer. He's a treifa, and since he's a treifa, he could not become an aid zomim. So it's edus shi'ata yochel hazima. It's testimony that cannot become. It's not subject to being labeled Adam Zomimin. All those are reasons why he would disqualify the set if you're going to count him. So the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Yossi can do away with that problem. Kishahar gomei achorav, he was killed from behind, so he never saw the guy, so he couldn't have testified. He didn't see anything. Nirba Yatzil, what about the victim of molestation? He'll disqualify the set. Again, kishahar gomei achorav, he never saw his assailant. And that's what we're up to. Horeg veroveya Yatzilu. What about the murderer himself? He's a witness to the event, and he's disqualified. So he will disqualify the set, ditto for the molester. So the Gemara says, Ishtik. Biden didn't have an answer to that one. Kiosla kamei de Rava. Question came before Rava. Amarle, and he said to him, no, yakum davar, al pishnayim edim, o al pishlasha edim, yakum davar. The matter will be upheld via the two or three witnesses, b'mekayme davar hakasuv medaber. The text is talking about the people who uphold the matter. What does that mean, the people who uphold the matter? So if you take a look at Tosfos Shmuel, he's going to give us an answer as to what exactly this means. But he's going to ask a question that we're not ready for yet, so I don't actually want to go through everything that Tosfos says. But let me see if I can pull it out. Otherwise, I'll just say it outside of the Tosfos. All right. Tosfos says what it means when it says Mekayme Davar. It means the people who actually come to Beis Din to uphold the matter, as opposed to the participants in the actual event that took place. It's talking about the people who are going to show up in Beis Din. Those are the ones. The murderer is not showing up in Beis Din in order to prosecute himself. Maybe if he were more knowledgeable, he would, because he knows he could actually, disqualify the set. But that's not generally what we assume is going on. So the murderer will not be an issue. It's only the witnesses who are actually an issue. I'm going to come back to that point that Tosfos makes, because it's going to matter in terms of one of the things that I said in my message when I sent out the source sheet about something that's very popular at weddings. You've probably heard it said without necessarily realizing the debate that's behind it, but it's our Gemara and the Tosfos that I just mentioned that's actually behind that thing that's done at weddings. But first we'll finish the Gemara on this Mishnah, and then we'll come back to it. Everyone clear? Everyone follow what we're talking about? Okay. So go back to the Mishnah for a second. The Mishnah was at the bottom of Hayamud Beis. the next piece is commenting on a key line in the Mishnah. The last bit on Hey Amud Beis, they talked about how we punish everybody who is part of this set and those who join in and all of that. And then one line up from the bottom. Just as if you have two witnesses and one of them turns out to be no good, the set is gone. Av shlosha, so too if there are three witnesses who are part of a set. Nimtza echem and karov apostle edusan betela. If one of them is no good, the whole set's no good, which is a chiddush. Because I would have said, you still have a kosher set without this guy. Doesn't make a difference, the whole set's no good. Minayin afilu meya, how do I know? Even 100 people are in a set, one of them is no good, all 100 are thrown out. Talmud lomar edim, because the Torah says, apishnam edim, oshlosha edim. It repeated the word witnesses to teach me, I don't care how big your set of witnesses is, one bad witness, the whole lot are gone.
How do you learn that out from that pasuk?
Because it says whether it's two or it's three. So that tells me it's not just the minimum amount. And then the fact that it repeated the word edim, apishnayim edim, o apishlosha edim, that extra word edim tells me as long as they are a set of witnesses, regardless of how many there are.
Yeah, I understand that. But how did you make the inference from the mermaid, the mission inference from there, that means that one disqualifies all three? Like, how do you
because
get
what it's telling, because what it's telling you is that they all have to be good. They all have to be valid
whether
as part
two
of this
or whether
set.
You're three.
Correct. We need all of them to be valid in order to do this. But then you get Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is at the top of Vav Med Aleph. And Amar Rabbi Yossi, Bamer Devarim Amurim. He says, when is that true that we're going to throw out the set based on the one bad guy? Bedine Nefashos, if you're talking capital cases. If it's a financial case, then not. And we gave one explanation for it. We gave multiple, I think. But Rashi's explanation is, because when you're dealing with a capital case, we're always trying to save the defendant. That's the rule. But when it's a financial case, there's nothing about saving one side versus saving the other side, because anytime you save one, you're hurting the other. So then it doesn't apply. That's Rabbi Yossi's statement. Whereas Rabbi Omer echad dine mamanos ve'echad dine nefashos. Rabbi said no. This rule actually applies, and this is the halacha. Whether it's a capital case, whether it's a financial case, one bad witness throws out the set. But then we say ve'emasai. When is that true? Bizman shehisru bahen. Assuming that these witnesses gave the warning, that shows they are witnesses. But if the witnesses didn't give the warning, then we're not throwing out the set because one of them is bad. They don't become a set. And he says, key line, because otherwise, Mayasu Shnei Achin Shero Be'echad Shehara Ges HaNefesh. What will you do otherwise? Two brothers happen to be walking down the street together and they witness a murder, right? I gave the case in the baseball field, right? The center fielder pulls out a gun and shoots the right fielder, and 30,000 people are watching. So you're not going to tell me you disqualify all 30,000. They have to have been there with intent to be part of the set. That was the statement that the Mishnah gave us. Rabbi Yossi did not seem to say that. That seemed to be Rebbe. So the Gemara comments on that and says, Heichi amrinon luhu. What exactly do we say to these people in order to test them, to find out, did you intend to be a witness or not? So Amar Rava says, Hachi Amrinon Lehu. This is what we say. Lemechze Asisu o Laashude Asisu. This is very clever. This is very tricky wording. Did you go to watch or did you go to be a witness? In other words, we're direct. We ask the question, what did you think you were doing? I Amri Laashude Asu. If they say they came to testify, they came to serve as witnesses, I should say. Nimtza Echman Karvo Pasole Dusan Betela. Then in fact, if one of them is no good, the whole set's no good. But if they say they came just to watch what was going on, then the Maharam adds in the words, Edusim Kayemes, the testimony is valid, because Mayasu Shnei Achim Shero Shahagas HaNefesh, otherwise what will you do when you have the two brothers? So it's just about what their intent was. That's all it is. Yeah.
What's the concept of intent with a witness? Isn't a witness a state of being? Either you're a witness or not a witness.
So that's why this whole thing is a novelty.
Yeah.
It would not have been my default assumption. I would have assumed you saw it. You're a witness. Case closed, right? You're driving down the street. There's an accident. You saw it happen. You don't get to choose.
You're not thinking, I want to see this so I can be a witness.
No, but not just that.
You got paid to be witnesses.
Right? The law that says you have to stay at the scene and all of that. Well, I didn't intend to be a witness. That's why I left.
Back up.
This is always a Rabbi Yossi issue, right? According to Rabbi.
So that's the question. Is this Rabbi Yossi or is this Rabbi? Look back at the language. It's very unclear. I would have said it's more likely it's Rebbe, not Rebbe Yossi. Because Rebbe was the last one speaking.
But Rebbe should depend on Hasra. Shouldn't depend. You shouldn't have to ask him anything when it comes to Beis Din.
Well, unless you say Hasra is an illustration. Unless you take the view that Hasra is actually the illustration. Look at Rashi back in the Mishnah. Evelim lo histu bahen. Velo kivnu lios eidin bedavar. Kavana is really a focus of what we're talking about here. So,
and Dine Mamanos is not strong anyway, right?
Dine Mamanos, well, that's actually part of the whole question.
You have to ask
So, Itmar, one more line here. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. Rav Yehuda says, quoting Shmuel, the law follows Rabbi Yossi. On capital cases, we are indeed going to throw it out based on one bad witness, not on financial. Rav Nachman Amar Halacha Ki Rebbe. Rav Nachman says the Halacha follows Rebbe. Now keep in mind that in his generation, Shmuel is the king of Dine Mamanos, all financial matters. You deal with a financial matter, you're paskening like Shmuel. However, Rav Nachman plays the same role in the next generation. And we follow Rav Nachman, the later generation in this regard, and we say Rav Nachman, who was the chief dayan of his time, that's who we're going to follow. Clear? That's the idea. So what we end up saying then is, Halacha follows Rebbe, both on capital cases and on financial cases, one bad witness, we are going to throw out a lot of them. That's the idea. So now we come to Tosfos that I mentioned before. And now we'll see what Tosfos has to say, and the practice at weddings that I think you've probably seen done. Let's try that again. Okay, Tosos Shmuel. You see that? Bound Tosos? He says, Kasha, this is difficult. Heach matzinu yadenu v'raglenu kishanosnin get sheyesh b'mamad krovim. He says, literally, how could we find our hands and feet? It means, how could we function at all when a get is given and there are family members present? V'haya lanu lomar de'edus haksherim batel. Right, we should then say that the edus of those who are not family members, they're testifying to the validity of the get, is no good.
Because the relatives are there.
Yeah, and not only that, he says, not only within the view of Rebbe, but within the view of Rabbi Yossi. V'hai dumya didine nefashos, disharinan eshes isha yesh bambises based. And he says, this is a capital case, a get, because she's a married woman. So this, what her status is going to matter a great deal. So Tosfos is very bothered. What you're going to do? V'tam depreciates la'el gabi edus nefasho shayach nami beget. The logic that we gave regarding capital cases, Tosfos discussed what the reason is why we say that we would throw out the testimony. Is it, as Rashi said, he gives another explanation. It's the same reasoning that we said before for dina nefasho applies for a get. And he says further, v'gam l'rebi nami kasha. It's going to be an issue for Rebbe as well, not just Rebbe Yossi. Because sometimes one of the witnesses will intend to testify. Notice, Eitan, Rebbe is the one who's speaking there regarding Kavana.
What is the smichas parshas between get and dina nefashos?
Because get resolves whether she's considered a married woman or not, which will just determine capital cases. Is she an eshes ish or not?
Is she being accused of being
an eshes? That's a potential thing that will happen. But this is why we care about whether she's a married woman or not. That's exactly the issue.
But they're not edus to a murder. They're edus to whether or not somebody is married or not.
Sorry?
They're not edim to a murder. Somebody is married.
They're edim whose word is going to matter in the event that she gets involved
in
with somebody.
In the event, but we're not in
but
that
that's
event.
But that's where their testimony matters. That's exactly where their testimony is a key point. Lachein nira l'ri. So the Ri says, I'll tell you what. Digam l'Rabbi Yosi lo amru de'edusan b'teila ela davka ba'osan shemeiden bifne beisden. He says, you know what? I'll tell you what. First of all, Rabbi Yosi agrees that the edus is only batel if they actually are going to testify in Beis Din. That's what's going to disqualify it. But not if they just see the event. That will not disqualify them. They have to intend to testify. So then he says, I don't understand. You asked your question, the victim of the murder will save this person by disqualifying the entire set. How is he going to do that? He's not going to go testify in Beis Din, he's dead. Unless I give my poison case, right? V'omer Hari, so the Re says, Devadai mitchila hayasavur hashas l'Rabbi Yosi, kinami enon boin l'hoid, but Beis Din edusin, you know what, I don't even need to go to that. I don't need to go there. The point is that Tosfos asks the question of what happens with a get, and the same question will be with a wedding. When you have a bunch of family members there, they're going to disqualify all of the kosher witnesses. That's the concern that Tosfos mentions. Tosfos answers the question by saying, no, it's only where they actually are coming to Beis Din to testify. That's the idea. Not if they're not coming to Beis Din to testify. This matters a great deal. I should explain. There are different kinds of witnesses. There are witnesses who are what's called let me not complicate it. There are witnesses who are there for what's called lekiyum hadavar, for the maintenance of what happens, meaning their role as witnesses is not just later on if there's a question we'll ask them what happened, but rather their presence as witnesses makes the event valid. It's not halachically meaningful without them. So there's a Gemara in Gittin that talks about a case in which a man and woman get married and there's only one witness. But both the man and the woman admit that they got married. Halacha is they're not married.
No, you need two witnesses.
You actually need two witnesses for that. They make the wedding a valid wedding. It's not Gittin, it's Kiddushin Samach Yamud Beis. My notes say.
Is that like a notary?
Can I ask you a question?
Sorry? Is that like a notary? Or?
I guess so, in a sense, yeah.
I don't get a little off
except
track.
Except they're not
paid. I don't get a little off track, but it's like, but you don't need to aid them for a get, necessarily.
So that's actually not so. The only question is, do I need the aid of who signed the get? Or the
right.
Delivery of the get?
And
if Hasima Karti, and Sira Karti. Right.
Kiddushin is not chal without aidim.
Without aidim for the Kiddushin. Correct.
So all those cases of Harem Mekadeshesli and Sheva Pruta, and everyone gets all worried about all over Shas and everywhere.
So that's part of the question of what is it that would have? What if we all know? What if they're acting what, as? It gets beyond where we need to go.
What I meant to say in this sphere is you don't need two Aiden to declare that somebody's dead and the woman can be remarried.
That's true.
That's
true.
And so
the body
and so,
is good
and
enough.
And so, you know, but that's the same issue.
Yeah. So the Rush asked this question also, this question about the witnesses. I brought it in Aleph because he expands a little bit on what we're saying. He says, V'im tomar, l'shmuel de pasik halacha k'Rabbi Yosi u'krovan opsulin poslin b'ri'ia b'alma. According to Shmuel, who follows Rabbi Yosi, who says relatives will disqualify the said just by watching, avilo kibnu l'hoid, even without desire to testify. How will you ever have get or a wedding that's valid? It's done in public. The gama libid the Rebbe and kibnu lahed, and even within Rebbe, if they intended to testify. Hilkoch nero lefareish. So he says, I'll tell you what the conclusion is here. We saw Rava say that yakum davar, that it's about the people who are upholding it, not about the victim and not about the murderer and all of that. Ein kroven upsulin mevatlin ha'edus elim kein ba'uvehi'idu bebezdin im ha'acherim. The relatives, the apostle people, will not disqualify the testimony unless not only do they intend to testify, but they have to show up and testify. You're not called an aid unless you show up in Bezdin to carry it out. So he says, when the Gemara asks the question about the two brothers, it's because if two people see something wrong happening, there's a chiyuv. It will be arta harami kirbecha. You have a chiyuv to go testify. So they're going to show up in Beis Din, and now they're going to disqualify everybody who shows up. That's the concern of Tosfos. That's the concern of the Rush. It must be the issue is only if they show up in Beis Din to testify. And this is brought as a Yesh Omrim in the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat Lamed Vav. However, the Rambam doesn't mention this requirement that we've just invented, that you only disqualify the set if you show up in Beis Din. The Rambam doesn't seem to think so. I brought you the Rambam in Source Base. He just says, "Bamed devar mamurim." When is it true that they're part of the set to disqualify it? Bizman shniskavnu kulon lahayed, when they intended to testify. That's all that's needed to disqualify the set. Avlam lo niskavnu kulam lahayed, but if they didn't all intend to testify, mayasu shneyachin, he asks you about the two brothers, right? And then he goes on with Ketzad Bodkinis Hadavar, how do you test them? How do you ask them? And you say, did you intend to testify? Did you not intend to testify? And he goes through the whole thing. He never mentions that the only ones who disqualify it are the ones who actually show up in Beis Din. So according to the Rambam, what happens at our weddings? Why does anybody have a kosher wedding? You
they
all had family members there.
Ooh,
so there we go. There we go. That's the thing. Sorry, Bobby, you were going to say?
Kind of piggybacking off it. Do you need to make the announcement, or can the set just say, we are going to be the Aiden for this thing, to the exclusion of, we don't want anyone to join us? And it doesn't matter if it's a wedding, it doesn't matter if it's another case. You just say, we are here to testify. We are good enough as a set ourselves. We don't need any extra support. And that way, if anyone should come, it wouldn't matter because you already have like a good set.
Right. Let's take it step by step. The Shach mentions this practice. It's not the Shach who originates it. It appears, I think, in the Ritva first. But if you take a look and in the Shach, in Soros Gimel, he says, "Inyan mashehikshu Tosus v'Rosh v'Siatam." Regarding this question, the Tosus, the Rosh, and so on, ask, "Ha'ech timtza gittin v'kiddushin k'sherim shenasu v'pumi b'mamad krovim." He says, for us, it's obviously okay. We designate kosher witnesses who are set aside for this. This is the announcement that you will often hear, but apparently not always, at a wedding in which they say, they ask the chassan usually, do you designate these two people to be your edim to the exclusion of all krovim u'psulim?
Why does the chassan have that power?
Because
he's witnessed something. What?
No, because he is the one who is about to do the marriage, and so he is the one who is inviting them to say, would you be my witnesses? And he is the one who says, and I don't want anybody else to function as a witness. I want it to be just these two. Yes.
If anybody sees it, they want to act as a witness, and they're witnesses. They saw it.
Yeah. And he goes on to say, therefore, it's obvious that the Krovim will not intend to testify. So it's not about legal authority as much as warning everybody else, hey, don't mess this up for me. Yeah, sorry. It's like speak now or forever hold your peace. Yeah.
I mean, we exclude Krovim, like close friends?
No, only relatives.
Just relatives?
Yeah. Krovim upsulim. Relatives are no good. Okay. People who are disqualified to testify because they gamble. You know.
We had Machan.
You know, I don't want to. Hassan's father is there. You got a problem. Hassan's brother is there. You got a problem.
Well, that's. Yeah. No, that's true. We disqualify both sides. That's interesting. Yeah. It was very funny. I had when I was in Toronto, there was a man who was married to my second cousin, who was very involved in the Jewish community. He ran JLIC and all of that. And we always wondered what was going to happen, when it was going to happen. And it was only my last year there that he and I were picked as Aiden by people. Because it's always rude if they ask you to be an aide to ask, like, so who's the other aide? We figured it out when we were at the wedding and neither of us was doing the Tanoim and neither, something's happening. And sure enough, we went running out right before the parade down the aisle. It was a lot of fun. That's the Shach's solution to the problem, is to designate particular Edim. Rav Soloveitchik in Nefesh HaRav is quoted as saying that this isn't really required. You don't actually have to do this. So if they didn't do it, it's not the end of the world. Yeah, but maybe it's a good thing to do. But Lemaisa, he says it's not actually an issue. We don't paskin that this would be a problem in the first place. But that's the wedding practice that I was talking about.
You open up a whole can of worms if you're going to say it's a problem.
That's
because,
true.
Because, well, people marry, it's 10 years later.
Yep.
And somebody says, oh, you know, witnesses, it's no good.
You know,
and then and what? They have kids and...
You know what it's really good for, though? It's good for disqualifying a wedding if you want to, right? You end up with cases, unfortunately, where there's a need to try to find a way to disqualify it.
Because
now we only picked these two. So that means if I can just disqualify one of them, I don't have to worry about everybody else who's there at the wedding. Like, just knock out one of them. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Mishnah Vav Amud Beis.
I thought you were talking about like a
guna. No, well, that would be a case where I want to do that. That's why that would be one of the cases. The kids are kosher. Yeah, the kids are kosher. Yeah. Mishnah. I mean, no one wants to do that to somebody, but sometimes you got to do it. Mishnah Vav Amud Beis. Hayu Shnayim Roen Oso Mechalon Zeh. Ushnayim Roen Oso Mechalon Zeh. So two people are witnesses from one window. Two people are witnesses from the other window. Ve'echad masra bo be'emtza, and there's one person in between who is providing the warning. Bizman shemiktsasan roen elu es elu, hare elu edus achas. So the rule is that in the event that people from each set of witnesses are able to see the other, so then they are a single set of witnesses, both in terms of being effective against the defendant, and in terms of disqualifying the set and being Adam Zoman and so forth. The Imlav, what if they can't see each other? Hare Elu Shte Eduyos, then they are two sets of witnesses. That's the rule. Lefichach, therefore, the Lefichach here, you have to ask yourself, what is Lefichach referring to when it says therefore? But therefore, Im nimtzeis achas mehen zomemes, if one of these sets turns out to be Adam Zomemen, hu vehein neheragin, vashnia petura. He and they are killed, and the other set is pater. So in other words, I have two sets that watch, right? Only the two sets didn't see each other, so they never became one set. One set became Adam Zomerman. The other set never became Adam Zomerman. The result is the defendant's going to get killed, and the Zomerman will get killed. And the other set is going to be fine. That's what is going to happen. So what is your lefichach here? What does that mean? Therefore. So Tosfos huvehe neheragin reads it as saying that this is talking about where the two sets don't see the person giving the warning. And therefore, they're not combined with each other. Well, the thing is, if they don't see who gave the warning, then how did any of this happen? There's no warning. What did they see? No, they saw a random murder without any warning. So the answer is, they heard the warning, and that's good enough.
Somebody said it, they don't know who.
Imagine a scenario in which there's a shooting going on down on the street, and there are office buildings on either side, right? So you have two people watching from one window, two people who see it from a different window, and they hear somebody shout out, "Don't shoot." But they didn't actually see who said, "Don't shoot." And then the guy, or not "Don't shoot," because that's not sufficient as hasra, but you know what I mean. They heard somebody give a whole speech.
Says in the pasuk,
They heard the speech. They have no idea who said the speech, but they heard the speech. They saw the shooting. So they don't become a single set. They're two separate sets, and therefore they go their own ways. Whichever one is effective is effective. Whichever one becomes Zomim becomes Zomim. And that's the way it works.
Giving a warning could be anybody, man, woman, child.
That's exactly where we're going next. Perfect segue, Kobe. Thank you. Okay. I'll pay you later. Rabbi Yossi Omer, La'olam ein neheragin ad shehu shnei edim masrin bo. Rabbi Yossi says, they will not be killed, any set of Zomim, unless, no one's getting killed, Adju Shnei Eidav Masrin Bo, unless the two witnesses themselves gave the warning. He says this business of combining witnesses with the individual who gives the warning, he says no, both witnesses have to carry it out. They both have to warn. Shenamar al pi shnayim edim, at the mouth of two witnesses. So that means they have to speak. Davar acher, an alternative way to read al pi shnayim edim. Al pi shnayim edim shalote sanhedrin shomas mipi haturgamon. An entirely different halacha. That the court has to know the language of the witnesses. If they don't know the witnesses' language, and instead there's a translator, no good. They have to act based on having actually heard the speech of the witness. That's a separate halacha, which isn't part of what we're talking about here. But what we're saying right now is that Rabbi Yossi's position is you need the two witnesses to actually provide the warning. Very different from the position of the Tanakhama.
But what if you have more than two witnesses and they're considered a set?
So I believe he's still okay.
Does that mean every single one of them have to give the warning?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just two. Yeah. That would be my understanding. At least as of right now. I reserve the right to change my mind. But I think so. Yeah. So...
It feels so technical. Like you're checking boxes, but like... Also, been not that clear on like what the actual rules are. You know, like do both of them have to say it, or does it like
right.
does one guy have to be like yeah, like?
But it right? makes sense that we're gonna have debates on this because by the time you roll around to this generation of Tanaim, no one has carried out a death penalty. No one has tried a death penalty case in two centuries. Uh-huh. So, you know, it's not as though this was like, oh yeah, I remember when we saw that. You know, we're going to have Haftarah the Shabbos that hasn't happened since 1997, right? That's 27 years, and still nobody remembers what they did the last time. You know, and that was in shul, in public, with everybody there, and yet no one remembers what they did last time. I was the rabbi. I don't remember what I did. Okay. So, Amar of Zutra Bartuvia Amar Rav. So Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia says, quoting Rav, we're going to come back though to this issue of the speech that's given and who has to actually give the warning if not the witnesses. We're going to come back to that. But Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia quotes Rav about something called Edus Miyuchedes. This is a completely separate halacha from the Mishnah as things begin here. So he says, Minayim le edus miyuchedes shehi psula. How do you know that edus miyuchedes is no good? What is edus miyuchedes? So take a look at Rashi. He says, Echad roa oso mechalon zeh. One witness sees the guy from one window. Ve echad roa mechalon zeh. Another one sees him from a different window. Ve einan roin zeh es zeh. Forget who's giving the warning. The two witnesses do not see each other. So it's a new case. How do you know that's no good? Shenamar, because the Torah says, Lo yumas al pi ed echad. He shouldn't be killed by one witness. That tells me that this doesn't work. To which the Gemara now spells it out. My echad, what do you mean when you say ed echad, that it's no good? Ilema ed echad mamush. If you're telling me that means literally, he can't get killed by a single witness, I knew that already. Me reisha shamina la, I learned that from the beginning of the pasuk, al pi shnayim edim. That you use two witnesses. I didn't need a pasuk to tell me not one witness when I already have a pasuk to tell me two witnesses. Ela mai echad. So what does the word echad mean? Echad, echad. Even if it is just one witness here, one witness there, and they don't see each other, that's already disqualified. Tanya nami hachi, and I have a brace to support that. Lo yumas al pi ed echad. He will not be killed on the word of one witness. Lahavi shnayim shiruano so echad mechalon zeh to include the case where two people see him, one from one window, one from the other window. Vein roin zeh zeh, they don't see each other. She'ein mitstarf and they do not combine. Velo od, and not only that, ela afilu bezeachar zeh bechalon echad ein mitstarfin. Even if they were both at the same window, just one after the other, they also do not combine. That's the idea. To which the Gemara says. Amar le Rav Papa le Abaye. Rav Papa, the Talmud says to his Rebbe, Abaye, I don't understand the end of that brisa about the two people one after the other in the window. Hashta uma echad mechalon ze ve'echad mechalon ze. He says, if one witness sees him from this window, one witness sees him from the other window, the haiko chazi kule maisa, the haiko chazi kule maisa. Each one saw the entire event. And yet, amrit lo mitstarfi, he says they don't combine. So bezeach or ze, where it's one after the other, the haichazi paga de maisa, haichazi paga de maisa, bibaya, where each one didn't even see the whole thing. One of them saw a part. One of them saw a part. That's obviously not a valid thing. So Amar Lei Lo Nitzrucha Ella LeBoel Es HaErev. He says no. There is a possible case. The case would be where it was a sexual act, and each one saw enough that they could have said they saw the act. So that will be an example. It's not a murder case. It's a different case. Fine. Amar Rava Im Hayu Roen Es Hamasre O Hamasre Roa O Son Mitstarfin. If they see the person giving the warning, or the person giving the warning sees them, then they do combine. So one here, but they see the person giving the warning, or the person giving the warning sees them, now they're a set. Not unlike what we said in the Mishnah.
How does the warning start?
Because the fact that they each saw this person who's giving the warning merges them as a set, even though they didn't see each other.
And the master is not seeing the action, right? The guy giving the warning is not an aide.
You didn't answer my question.
Wait, why do you need both? Why do you have the
I'm saying he didn't answer my question.
Yeah.
Why do you even need both?
Why do you even need both? Why doesn't the person who gives the warning...
He must not be seeing it.
Right, no. So the answer is the answer is the person who's warning didn't actually see it. That's correct.
How would he warn and not see?
Because he says, don't do it, don't do it. Because he sees what he thinks is about to happen, and he yells at the guy, but he didn't actually see the event. He doesn't have the angle. Yeah, his vision isn't good. Yeah.
My question was, how is just seeing the person giving the warning mitzdarif these two? You answered me that by him,
because
he's seeing the warning.
That's the rule. This is the definition of being part of a set, is that you had a joint experience that was critical to the testimony. What was it? You each saw the person who gave the warning. That's already good enough. Or, Chiddush, the person giving the warning saw you. That's already good enough. You are now considered to be part of a set.
Sight is a requirement, not hearing.
Correct. Sight is what matters. So, take a look now. Ve'omar Rava. And Rava also says a second statement. Masre Sha'omru. When we say this person who gives the warning... Afilu mi pi atzmo, vafilu mi pi shade. Even from himself, even from a shade, a demon. That's what it sounds like. No. That's Rava's statement. So here's my first question: what does mi pi atzmo mean?
The guy himself.
Who's the guy himself? What is it? The murderer.
I know I shouldn't do this, but I really want to do this.
So look at Rashi. Rashi disagrees with Eitan.
Why not the victim?
There we go. Rashi's with Bobby. The Mipi Atzmo, Rashi says, Heharug Atzmo Hisrabo. What we're saying is the warning counts if the victim gave the warning.
If he dies, how would you know that he saw that guy and that guy?
I know. It's the poison case.
Let's take a look
at the Rambam.
The aide had to give the warning.
Yeah, but apparently not.
Warning.
You're with Rabbi Yossi. That was Rabbi Yossi's comment. He said yes. Rabbi Yossi is good company to be in. You know, don't take that lightly. Rabbi Yossi tends to win these things. Not always.
Well, we said off Paskin like.
Yeah, sometimes. So the Rambam. Take a look at Dalet. The Rambam does not seem to fit with Rashi. He says the following regarding warnings. Echad tamad chacham ve'echad am ha'aretz tzarech hasra. He says, first of all, any criminal needs a warning, even if he knows everything. Doesn't matter. Shlo nitna hasra el havchin bin shogig lemezid shema shogig haya. Because the goal of the warning is to distinguish between people who do it accidentally and people who do it intentionally. Maybe it was an accident. V'ketzad masrin bo, so what's the warning? Omerlo, they say to him, Prosh, separate from that. Oh, al ta'ase, or don't do that. Shazo aveira hi v'chayiv ata'aleh mises bezin omalkos. This is an aveira, and you're going to get such and such a penalty.
They don't have to cite the pasuk.
According to the Rambam's text here, no. Impiresh, potter. If he stops, He's exempt because he didn't do anything wrong. Or if he is silent or just nods his head, he's still exempt from liability even if he does the crime. Even if he says, I know, still potter. He's still potter. He says, only if the guy actually, so to speak, warns himself, saying, I'm doing this on this condition. And he has to act within the span of a few seconds of acknowledging the warning. Once that time elapses, you need a new warning. Whether one of the witnesses gave the warning, or somebody else gave the warning in front of the witnesses. Afilu isha o eved. Doesn't have to be someone who's a kosher witness. A woman can give the warning, an eved can give the warning. Afilu shama kol amasra velo ra'ahu. Even if he heard the one giving the warning but didn't see him. Va'afilu hisra be'atzmo. And even if he warned himself. Hareze Neharag. What does that mean? Says the Kesef Mishnah in Source Hey, Bein Shehisra Bo, etc. So Per Kama Demakos, he quotes our Gemara and he quotes Rashi. And the second line in Hey, the Efshar Lefarish Bo Od Pirish Acher Sheha Horeg Haya Masra Beatzmo. The murderer is the one who warned himself, Va'omer, and he said exactly as Eitan said it. Ra'oi li limana milaso zos. I really should refrain from doing this. She'im ken yahrguni beizdin. Because if I do it, Beizdin's going to kill me. Ve'achar kach gavar yitzro ala va'asa'ah. And then his yitzahara overpowered him, and he did it anyway. V'lamad Rabbeinu kavachomer la'eved ve'isha. And the Rambam already said that. Once you accept that, then you also accept the...
No, that's
a separate discussion. Sorry?
So the Rambam's version of a shade is Shema Kol HaMasra.
That's the other point.
Right?
That's the other point here. The first point to note is who is Mipi Atzmo, either the victim according to Rashi or the criminal according to the Kesef Mishnah. The second point is that the Rambam omitted the shade. Now, that's not so surprising, because the Rambam isn't into Shadim. But the Kesef Mishnah says, no, the Rambam included the shade. In Source Hey, the last line, V'din Hashed Kivein Al Elav Rabbeinu, he says the Rambam did include that, saying Afilu Shama Kol Hamasrayu Velo Ra'ahu. You heard someone giving the witness, and you didn't see him, because that's what a shade is. It's a voice, and it's a disembodied voice. That's all it really is. Now, I want to make one note of something, and then I'm gonna have to stop there. But actually, no, we have 3 minutes. Yeah, go ahead.
Just the question of if the murderer is the one that's giving himself the warning,
yeah,
and the people in the window were seen by the murderer, but how are you going to get the murderer to cough up that he saw them to be able to be mistaken the two witnesses in the windows?
Well, I mean, he was already off enough that he gave himself a warning before doing it.
But then he did it. He had charata in that he didn't want to be executed.
So Basin talks to him and he says, listen,
that he saw the two guys, one chalon and one and the
they
other
say chalon. To him, listen, you want kapara or not? How do you want this to go forward?
And we believe him? He just murdered somebody.
We believe him that he gave himself a warning? Yeah.
No, we believe him that he's going to claim he saw both witnesses.
And Lavdavka, we may end up out of luck. But in the event that he actually acknowledges it, this is what would happen. We wouldn't throw it out.
They didn't see him.
The Rama's point is that the Rama's point is that we won't throw it out. That's the idea. But here's the key question, and we'll start with it, God willing, next time. Is it enough then, really, based on what we're saying here, that he just know the Isser? Do you actually is there a legal action, a legal procedure called Hasra'a, warnings? Or is it just that he has to know that this is what's supposed to happen? That's unclear to me at this stage. That's very unclear to me at this stage, and we're going to talk about it with a piece from Steinman in the Ayelas HaShachar. We'll start with that, God willing, next time.